You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We are now lucky enough to be joined by Mokotron, who is coming to us live from Tamaki in some kind of robotics lab. How you doing, Mokotron?
Ai, he rere ana ngā mihi mai Tamaki, here ngā waka ki te waka o Aoraki, te whānau whānui o te Waipaunamu, tēnei te mihi aroha, te mana whenua, te rohe ki a tātou nei, tēnei te mihi. Kia ora anō.
Kia ora, man, kia ora. How are things up in Tamaki? Are they going okay?
Yeah, things are chill. Yeah, I mean, it's the business end of the year, but it's all good. Yeah, weather's chill. Earthworks outside, I hope that's not coming through on your mic.
No, it's chill, man. It's chill. Can't really hear too much. Last time we spoke was in August about the release of Ōhaki, and you'd mentioned in that korero, you mentioned that you'd finished work on a remix of one of your favourite Māori artists from Tamaki. Is that remix out yet?
No.
We're still under wraps.
It's been mastered. I'm guessing it's been sent to be pressed on vinyl now.
Mm-hmm. And, wow.
Yeah, wow. No, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, like, I don't think I can talk about it, but
no worries, no stress.
Incidentally, my favourite Māori singer is Samara Alofa, so yeah, just awesome. Dream collab, one of those collabs where you're like, this should be an album, but there needs to be a whole album of this, but anyway, I won't spoil the surprise, but yeah, it was definitely, man, vibes, take two people who go heavy on the vibes and put them together and you get, I don't know, vibes squared, I don't know, I'm not making
this. You get a banger is what you get. Do you think there will be maybe a longer form collaboration between you two down the line?
I mean, Samara's in demand there, and every band and everything going, so I think I'd have to get in line, but you know, I don't mind. If it's alright for Bob Marley, it's alright for me, you know.
Totally.
Wait, as long as I'm not waiting in vain. Yeah.
You've got the new track came out very recently called Wairia. Very, very beautiful song. And the video, I mean, you've been on a run with the videos lately, man. It features a solid, kind of severe, kind of a disc of wood slowly becoming a gorgeous carving with these almost maze-like, intricate patterns. That was a real carving, right?
Yeah, but it's uku, eh? It's clay.
The artist is
Stevie Hokama, who's a wahine from, well, she's from Wellington, from Ngāti Porou, Te Whānau Apanui. So, yeah, no, that's Stevie carving clay about 1 millimetre at a time and taking photos of it to get that stop animation kind of thing. So, yeah, I don't think that's ever been done before with Māori carving and clay work. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, is because... I mean, did New Zealand have a lot of clay for clay carving to be kind of as cemented into our Māori as wood carving would be? Or is it more of a new...
Clay was used a lot. It was used for a lot of things, whether it was musical instruments. It was quite a tricky way of cooking birds, because if you just wrap a whole bird in clay, you can then burn it and cook it, and when you rip the clay off, it rips the feathers off. So it was used for really practical tools and stuff. But yeah, I guess wooden carving for kairo rākau has always been seen as the primary art form, you know. It's like the equivalent of the All Blacks in New Zealand. There's lots of sports, but one seems to get emphasised, and for kairo rākau has always been seen as the primary. But I think that's what's powerful about it, is you have there have been some restrictions on wahine being able to carve. So to me, that's why I love Stevie's work, because how can you deny a wahine the right to carve when she is carving the Earth Mother? You know, there's something very powerful about that. That's precisely why I wanted to work with them, because I've seen people wahine being restricted from carving, and I was like, there's something so unapologetic and powerful about Stevie's work as a mana wahine Māori, you know, commanding the right to carve. So that's why I like it. Even our house up north, you know, a wahine was supposed to carve it, and the people said no, and they had to fight for her to have the right. So I guess it's kind of a thing for me, you know. It's like, yeah, I want to see wahine carving. So that's why I was so happy to work with Stevie.
That's very poetic, man. That's super poetic. I mean, the carvings are just gorgeous. They're insane. I mean, like, the level of detail captured in those things, and how those intricate patterns play off each other and form so many amazing, incredible, like, illusions during the video.
Yeah,
that is just fantastic. I mean, how long did that take to make?
I mean, we got the funding nearly 2 years ago, so obviously it took a while. I think we started production earlier this year, and yeah, it took quite a few months, but that was because Stevie was so in demand at the moment. So, yeah. But I mean, when they did it, they took 7,000 photos. Like, that's what it is. It's taking 7,000 photos and putting them in order, and that's the animation. So, but there was two pieces there. I guess the story they're trying to tell is my own story that I'm telling in the song, which is about growing up with family dysfunction and violence, and then reaching the point where my first daughter was going to be born, and I had to deal with that and actually get counseling and find a new way of being. So
become healthy. Yeah.
So she's so Stevie's represented that through clay. The first pieces, they've made two pieces for it. The first one, it shows her carved, well, it's being carved, and that represents my younger years. But you're watching the breakdown of the song, that piece is actually broken and sort of crushed down to nothing halfway through the song. So that first piece was actually made and destroyed in one day, and then we had to wait to get the second piece, and the second piece it wasn't destroyed, and I guess that represents the change in my life. And so you'll watch in that second part of the video, she carves one solitary line, and it's quite sort of awkward and very gradual. And what it's talking about is pathways in our brain, that if you grow up with violence being the main pathway in your brain, that's what you're going to go to. And the hard thing about your recovery and moving on from trauma is actually creating new pathways in her brain.
And breaking those patterns.
So that second one, that got finished. It didn't get destroyed, and it got fired. And you can see that in the video. The purple and orange are representing the kiln. So that got fired, and they didn't destroy that piece. And I went to Stevie's exhibition at Masterworks Gallery in Auckland on Saturday, and she actually presented it to me. So yeah, it was so amazing. And she said, "I can't keep it, and I can't sell it, bro. It's your trauma.
You own it, my friend." That's incredible. Is it just chilling in the living room at the moment?
Pride of place. It's so beautiful.
It's an incredible piece, man.
But just white clay, it's beautiful.
It's lovely, man. How did you meet them?
How did we meet them? That was, you know, we got Simon Ward on board, and the idea, Simon Ward's an amazing animator.
Yeah, worked with you on the previous video for Ohaki.
And so many other people, I respect, like Totems or Coco Solid, many people. I think we had the idea that Simon would be the animator, we'd work with Maori artists, and we came up with a long list and basically just stalked everyone's kind of profiles for, you know, quite a while, going through who we'd like. But I think we were really interested in Stevie's because it's so unusual. Like, how the hell do you make a music video out of carved clay? It's not something that's been done before, and I think it's paid off. I mean, the ceramics world in Aotearoa is going crazy on it, because it's like, we have an understanding that ceramics is objects and art and practical things, and it's like, well, it could be a music video. So I think just wanting to do something different and original, that's the kaupapa. It seems like so many music videos, they just all look the same. It's like, well, let's just do something wildly innovative and creative and kind of, you know, use it as another way of expressing Māori art and actually working with non-Māori, and how partnerships can bring forth really positive outcomes. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, beautiful video, man. Beautiful video. It's going to be on repeat for me for the next 10 years at least. The synths, I think, particularly at the beginning of the song, they had kind of a 1980s, almost Escape from New York kind of action vibe to them. Was that a clear influence for you there?
Yeah, man, I'm from the 1980s. I love those. It's those detuned 80s synths. I just, you know, it's the sound that happens in the 80s when the bad guy walks on screen. I want to move on from that, but I don't think I can. So
yeah,
some of the newer ones are kind of more like Tech Step with really distorted dark synths. But yeah, no, I've just got to have those dark synths at the start. Like, how do you know the bad guy's going to come on? There's no dark synth.
In our last interview, you said that if Mokotron were in the Transformers world, he'd be a Decepticon. So I mean, this adds up again.
Yeah, but it's that thing, eh? Optimus Prime in the more recent comic series was an archival historian, and I'm an archival historian, so I'm like,
torn between two worlds, eh?
Yeah, nah, Decons for life.
I guess we'll be talking to some of the subject matter of the track itself. In the release for the project, you said that you had denied access to your whānau, reo, tikanga, whakapapa, whenua marae, and so on growing up, but that Māori music, art and literature kept your connection to our Māori going and strong. And you say that your songs are lifelines for people trapped in a kind of colonised mind state, to keep their wairua alive and call them back to that which has been denied to them. Yep. With how the internet disperses and prioritises art, media and culture, and I guess with the trend of class and political leanings becoming so warped and disconnected from each other, do you think it's easier or harder for Māori who are trapped in that colonial freeze to kind of keep that connection to that wairua alive?
I mean, there's greater access.
Hard question.
Things are so much more available. I guess for me, growing up in a Pākehā world, the one thing was art books and novels and music on the radio and music videos. That was, you know, those were the only Māori things allowed in our household. So, I mean, I think it's easier to access those forms of media today, but I guess the worry is that it just becomes about identity, personal identity, you know, like that you can just be on, if you're living on the internet, maybe you can just like the right post and follow the right people and feel that that's your Māori identity, when it's not. It's connected to whakapapa, to land, to places, to relationships, to ceremony. So I guess, you know, my hope is that it's not the last step, it's a first step, it's a calling on. But, you know, ultimately to reconnect with your culture, it means going back to the land, going back to your whānau, going back to your whakapapa, learning your language. So, yeah, I guess that's what I'm seeing. Because I teach thousands of young people every year as a lecturer, like, I don't want people to think that it's enough just to live a Māori existence on social media and think that's enough. That can call you in, but really the call is not to be strong on the internet, it's to be strong on the whenua, eh?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's, I respect that quite a lot. As you mentioned before, with growing up with family dysfunction, you wrote the track to sort of cleanse yourself of feelings of hurt, shame, belittlement and violence. What do you feel when you listen to the song now?
It's a tough tune. It is a tough tune. Like, I think it was creatively, it was at the point where I was like, okay, I've made these really esoteric angular breaks tunes and now I'm going to do club gigs, so I need something a bit more solid. And so I was like, okay, I'll put a massive amen break on this and a big sub bass line. So to me, it kind of represents personal growth in expressing my experiences, but it's probably also it's where I moved away from how I was writing it earlier on, and everything after Wairia is quite different. So all these singles you're hearing are like the older tunes I wrote in 2022 when we went to video funding, but I think from Wairia onwards things changed and really the production stepped up. So it is a personal journey, but it's also, I kind of hear the production side of it and go, yeah, that's the point at which I stopped making silly headphone tunes and started trying to write solid tunes that would rock a crowd. So yeah, there's also a development in my skill level too. So I wrote that just before I did my first gig in Ōtautahi.
Wow.
That was my very first live gig. So I was like, well, I need something a bit more solid, something with a heavy break. So I was like, yeah, okay, amen, sub bass, done.
This track, Wairia, is the title track from your new album, which is coming up very shortly. Are there any further details you can reveal about the album, and are there any more singles on the way?
Yep, we've got one last single, which is Ko Waikwe. Those first two singles are about death, so this one's not about death. the last one is, yeah, it's probably quite different. It's kind of roots reggae breaks, kind of, you know, almost some speed garagey vibes from the 90s. Yeah, it's more, it's got me singing. So
wow.
I think after Wairia, that was the last chanted song I did. After that, I was just like, oh, I don't need a chant on everything. That sounds boring. So I started singing and just rapping, just dropping bars and singing. So I think, yeah, Ko Waikwe is the next one. I can't give you a release date for that because obviously we got a little bit behind taking 7,000 photos yeah. for the last one. But
14,000 yeah. for the next video. Let's do it.
Yeah, 14. But Yeah, the next one sounds crazy. The artist has gone a bit rogue on it, so in a good way. So it's a different vibe. The album, I think, is pretty different from these singles, because these singles were the first things I wrote. I was still in that Tafi Tour kind of space where I was like, okay, dark, chant, 140 BPM, break beats. Everything after that is quite different, and certainly my vocal style changes from just plau parapara and karaki and more tia tia to actually just singing and dropping bars. So, yeah, I'm kind of excited. It's almost like, you know, when people hear the album and they're like, oh, the singles were better. I feel like the singles are okay, but to me, like, the album is probably where I found, the rest of the album is where I found my voice, you know, as an artist. So, yeah, definitely the first 2, 3, 4 tracks are, like, really, really proud of them. So awesome. I can't wait for it. I don't think it's going to be a letdown. It might even be a shock. Like, people will be like, oh, whoa, this is quite different. It's a bit more advanced technology.
Was there any particular rapper that you were trying to channel with the next single?
I'm not rapping on the next one. I'm just singing. It's just
obviously you're rapping.
Not channeling. I think it's more just Te Reo Māori kind of makes the decisions for you. Like, it's already a rhythmic, repetitive language. So it's almost like, it's been interesting. The features of Whai Kōrero, they use sound and rhythm so much that if you just take that and apply it to bars, it kind of works. So maybe the cadence and pronunciation is very much influenced by Whai Kōrero, formal speech making on the marae. But most rappers are like just dropping bars in American accents. So that was a big thing, is just go into a Whai Kōrero kind of voice and move from there. This one is just me singing, though. It's like a Māori reggae tune, but then with a massive break and a couple big bass lines. So
awesome. I'm very much looking forward to that coming out as well. We are just out of time at the moment. Thank you so much for coming on. Are there any final shows that you want to plug before we say goodbye?
I want to, but I can't announce
can't
them.
Say
yeah,
that.
I've got some. I think I've stepped. Yeah, I got the big call ups, and so the big call ups are going to be announced really, really soon.
Okay.
More stuff I'm not allowed to talk about, but I better sign the contract today. But just leveling up. Yeah, leveling up, and those will be announced pretty soon and be pretty massive. So
awesome. Well, I'm so excited for some more tunes. Really excited for the album, and hopefully see you in Otipoti or maybe Ōtautahi if you want to come down to the South Island.
Definitely. Oh yeah, I'm definitely going to be back in Ōtautahi next year. I do want to do a gig in Otipoti. We'll figure it out.
Indeed. Awesome. Okay, that sounds great. Thank you so much for coming on, Mokotron. It was fantastic talking to you as always, and have a fantastic day, my friend.
Thanks, Ewa.
Take care. Ka kite. Alright folks, that was Mokotron. We were chatting about his new track, Wairia, which we're going to play for you right now, and then we're going to have some clowning around. You're listening to The Breakfast Show on The One. Keep it real.
Was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.